Hi, it's... Wait, what? Did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
Heels, did you hear that?
I heard something.
It was different than it normally
something
is.
Something was changed.
It's our new Great Debates theme song.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Epic.
We got our own theme song, guys.
It was composed
by our friend Chris Knight.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you, Chris.
He did a great job.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you notice that we incorporated the Great Debates call?
Oh, I love that.
Can you demonstrate the call for us, Dibs?
Well, the call, again, just to remind you, the call, if you're ever in the wilderness and you're trying to find another great debater, you let out the Great Debates call.
Yeah. So and you'll always find another great debater.
That's right. And you learned that from a man named Dick Foote.
Yes, that's correct. It is based on Dick Foote's Boy Scout type call.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that we've wasted a bunch of time.
I wouldn't call that wasted.
Good point. So we haven't yet wasted any time, and we can still sort of get right into it with a micro debate.
One Halloween, Dick Foote dressed up as Tie Man, and he was just a guy who had 150
hilarious ties
draped from his body.
Easy
it
costume.
Was great.
Children love it. No work for
hysterical.
You. That's awesome.
He
Dick
looked
Foot
funny.
Sounds
he
like
put
a prince.
Thought into it, but I was great.
Was he married?
Yeah, yeah.
Was his wife a babe?
It's just a weird. She's a wonderful woman, Susan Foote. They have a great daughter, Alyssa Foote, who I grew up with.
That's
if
great.
You really want to know the answer to these questions.
If you could surface a photograph of the tie costume.
Oh, well, I'll try to really find it. Nice.
We're still waiting on that footage of you as JFK in the fifth grade pageant.
It breaks my heart. I got to find it. Portraits of the Presidents.
It's one of our most requested items of media.
And by that, you mean like
I mean,
two
one,
people.
One or
one
two
person.
Requests. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I carved into this coconut a message. It was that's basically how I held up a coconut.
That's great.
That's a good version of young you doing JFK.
Yeah, I had a higher voice and a more of a Boston accent.
I've got a micro debate.
Yes, finally.
If you guys are ready.
I'm sorry, I was talking.
No, that's fine. The topic up for debate, 3 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro. If Trump offers you the VP nomination, you should accept.
Well, who are we talking about with you here?
So I actually have a thought about this.
Okay.
I think that the only you that you, Steve Healy, and I have in common is Medina. I think he is our second person, if you will.
You're proposing to redefine the topic as...
Basically.
If Medina is offered...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trump's VP slot, he should take it. I'm taking the pro. Okay. So I assume the clock's already going.
It's
started,
taken.
I started it over.
Medina would be an excellent vice president of this country. He's a small businessman. He's a moderating influence. That's why he's the moderator of our podcast. And what does Trump need more than a moderating influence? The son of farmers, right, from a small town. What an American story he has. A podcaster, a broadcaster. It would be great for the Great Debates, obviously. Get a huge number of new listeners. So for all those reasons, I say yes, I'd like Medina to accept Trump's nomination. What's the alternative? Who's he going to get who's better than Medina? Newt Gingrich? Yuck.
The question is, who as a VP nominee could Trump get that would be better than Medina? That's what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the standpoint of the Republic, not...
Well, I think a lot of people, and most of whom are going to be considered way ahead of Medina for the BP. So I mention that only to say that if he turns it down, I think there's a good likelihood that someone better than him will end up accepting the role. There's a thousand reasons why Medina shouldn't take this job. One is on moral grounds, he shouldn't support himself, support the Trump campaign in any way.
Well,
he shouldn't vote for them.
I should take that
let
off,
alone
like. Medina being on the ticket can only be better morally. It'll only improve the situation.
That may be true, but he has to deal with his own conscience.
I'm saying, as a human being,
a sort of moral imperative, everyone should turn down the VP nomination from Trump. This man should be hung out to dry as much as possible.
Wouldn't Medina be in a strong position to embarrass or flip things on Trump at the most opportune moment if he first accepted the VP nomination? Down the road, Trump says something scandalous. Dan says, these aren't the American values I stand for. I'm bailing from the ticket. It's embarrassment for Trump.
If the idea is to lend credibility in some way to this ticket or to sort of steer the ship to make our republic better, then Dan Medina accepting, I don't know why he was offered this, but if he accepted Trump's VP nomination, America will descend into further chaos than it already is. Tomorrow's headlines are loose cannon Trump picks
unknown person
we've never heard of. What the fuck is going on? Shut down Wall Street for a month.
No. The spin will be like, first of all, the media
There's
never.
There's no spin.
The media
on
never likes.
You're trying to treat this seriously. It would be so absurd. Sarah Palin was picked. And she was a governor, and people flipped out.
Well, Sarah Palin was a lot worse as a public speaker than I imagined Medina would be, and a thinker.
He has, you're actually trying to, like, convince the listener that Medina has some actual, like, political background or wouldn't be that crazy as a vice president of the United States?
Sure. I mean, I'm becoming convinced. What were the founding fathers but young farmer scholars?
They were statesmen, you dumb. They weren't podcasters.
Thomas Paine was the podcaster of his day.
That's gross. I'm kicking you off. I'm kicking you out of this podcast for saying that.
Every one of the founding fathers would have had a podcast.
Yeah.
You don't think Jefferson would have had a recording studio up there in Monticello?
Of course he would have built it himself.
He probably would have ordered it built by his slaves.
Would you, if Trump said, "Hey guy, I want you," would you accept? Heels?
I think I'd panic and flip out and be like, I'm out of here.
Right.
Flee the country.
No way. Would I, it seems it's a no-brainer that you don't accept.
I think, like, before you accept, you try to, like, tell whoever you can that Trump needs a psychological profile.
Right.
Mm. What happened? Like, it's not just like you get a call and go, like, well, I'm being offered VP. I'm thinking about it. Your first move is to go, hey, everyone
call
I know,
the police.
Come to my house and help me with the situation.
Donald Trump
just called. I think it was actually him. I confirmed it was him. I'm worried about, I'm not a Republican, but what the fuck is going on? Like, how did this
happen? Hear about me?
Like, is this a prank that he's in on?
Yeah.
This man who is psychotic is running for president. He offered me.
He called me up. He texted me.
He texted me.
Dude, did we call the news? Do we call the FBI?
What are you up for?
It was a Trump. What are those little cartoon guys called?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They're like a step above emoji. They're little cartoons.
Avatars.
Bitmojis. Trump sends you a Bitmoji that says, be my VP.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's how you find out.
You call the cops.
The cops?
I don't know.
What are the cops going to do?
I don't know, but someone's got to do something.
That's like, your attitude is like exactly what the liberal media feels about Trump. Call the cops. There's no cops. It's happening, man. This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't arrest him.
No. No. Slaves.
Guys,
VP doesn't do any work, really, right?
No, I don't think the issue is that you couldn't handle the work. No, I think you'd be great. In fact, I mean, you're going to congratulate the women's volleyball champs.
Sure, you're
and everything
shaking a lot
like
of
that.
Hands,
oh,
and smiling at people.
Funeral of the park. President of Ethiopia.
Yes. Yeah, you could be both provide the levity that that a funny man like Biden presents, and also when time is called for, you're
the levity and the
I'm
gravitas.
I'm taller than Trump, I think.
Mm.
That might be a problem.
Is he only going to select someone shorter than him?
I think he has to.
Eliminate some candidates.
Are we in the host chat?
Oh, yeah. We are.
Probably.
Can I, since we're on it, can I give you my two-line Trump theory?
Yes.
I think Trump is, I'm not the first person to say this by far, but I really think that Trump is losing his mind. I think he's in the early stages of either senility, dementia, strong loss of cognitive functions. I think if you go back and watch videos from 10 or 20 years ago of him speaking, he was much more in command. He was much less repetitive. He didn't confuse pronouns. He has this weird way of adding the a lot in right. his speak, and oftentimes he's just barely getting across his meaning. It's right. a little confusing.
He talks like a cranky old man.
Yes, but... Yes, he does, actually.
So that may be explained why cranky old men are like, finally.
Right. Well, there's certain patterns that we hear in the way yeah. cranky old men talk that I think because they're starting to lose their minds. But I think he's adult. I think he's... And I think that by further part of the series that like America, as this is the haughty, obnoxious part of it, is that like America as a whole...
I was waiting for that.
...is mentally ill.
We're losing
and so
our minds.
He's a reflection of our cognitive disabilities as a country.
Mm. Yeah, my friend Dan Graney had a theory that Trump is like, he's like barf, and that's why he's orange. America's disgust at the political system was such that they barfed up Trump.
Ooh, I like.
Yeah.
That's a take.
Yeah.
You gotta have a take.
Heels, what else you got for host
Well,
chat?
We have some really exciting news this
What's
host
that?
Chat. We have the first ever great DaBaby.
Oh, wow. Hey,
that is a baby that was born of two people who've both been guests on The Great Debates, Kevin Etten and his lovely wife, Elizabeth Erickson. They had a baby.
They were our guests.
They were our guests on Thanksgiving. Remember, we had a Thanksgiving dinner with them. It was really nice.
It was
great.
That's
we did some debates.
We talked about the beach.
And now they've given birth to Charles Gustav Etten.
And he's adorable. And welcome, baby Charlie.
Congratulations, guys.
Now, I nominated him as our Get It of the Week.
Yes, but he does not. He's shown no evidence of getting it yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen him, but...
Seems harsh.
Well, look, Gets It of the Week has to mean something.
Yeah. We
and
have
this
to
week,
have a
there's
standard
a,
here.
There's a real winner for Gets It of the Week. It's Noah Garfinkel.
Oh.
He's a fan of the show. And
it's not great DaBaby,
no,
Charles Etten.
Charles, he's the great DaBaby of the week.
He did everything he could, I have to say. He
does,
had two parents who were on the show.
Okay, but there's one thing he doesn't do, which is get it.
Right. Ah, and Garfinkel gets it.
Garfinkel gets it. He tweeted us that next Cinco de Mayo, we should have Cinco de Micro.
Yeah.
Oh, we sure
that,
should.
That's evidence
that's
of a mind that
gets it of the week.
He gets it.
Sure.
I get it. But hey, alternately, we could have Micro de Mayo where the whole month is micros.
Ooh.
Wow.
Micro de Micro. What's that?
Micro.
Right?
The year of micros. The micro year of micro. Doing micros.
I prefer Cinco de Micro.
I know. I'm sorry.
We have until we have about 12 months to work on it.
So submit your micros for next year's Micro de Mayo or whatever, Cinco de Micro.
Is there anything else in host chat or you want to just...
There was. We were just talking about the nuclear codes. You know how they talk about there's a guy with the nuclear codes?
Just to segue kind of, you know, gracefully.
Well, yeah. Trump is going to get the nuclear codes. That worries people.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
What are the nuclear codes?
What
are they?
Are those
password?
Codes?
Are they printed out on some paper?
Yeah. What do they look like?
Are they some?
Are they a combination of letters and numbers?
Is it like at this point? Is it like a little drive?
Are
is
they case sensitive?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Are they case sensitive? Does it have to have one number and one capital letter?
Is this what's in like the quote unquote football?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What's up with the football? What's in there?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right that
football?
At this point it has to have some sort of biotechnology.
Yeah.
Right? If it doesn't,
oh, is it like embedded in a guy's like body?
That so you got to cut
great.
It out of there.
Yeah, you got to cut it out of there.
Gross.
Oh, man.
That would be neat.
Are there old codes that we can take a look at that are maybe declassified?
The Museum of Codes must have some.
They're done?
Yeah.
Where's the expired codes.
What's that?
Where's the Museum of Codes?
It's in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Is that
yeah.
true? Wow.
No, I don't know. I wish.
Lansing's yeah. a good choice for the Museum of Code site.
They code up there.
I'm sure.
Well,
is
plus
there
they
a museum,
need something.
There's got to be a museum of, I know you're joking, but is there a museum of like coding?
Like computer
yeah.
coding?
Yeah, sure. In Bellevue, Washington or something?
Yeah, or like at MIT or something.
Well, this is really interesting.
Sunnyvale host chat.
Speculating about
best host chat ever.
Museums.
You know what? I bet our listeners are fairly engaged.
That's the most boring thing you could think. If, oddly enough, if you made a computer program to like determine the most boring subject possible, it would spit out... Computer Science History Museum. I hypothetical computer science history museum.
Listeners,
and not actually what it is, it's just
where it is.
Where
if you and were, does it exist?
Listener, if you were at all engaged in the idea of a museum of coding, what that might be, where it might be before Dave started to rain on it, send us an email, a tweet, let us know that you were like, that we're too hard on ourselves.
And also nominate for us a location of...
Where should we locate
the hypothetical museum of coding?
And what should they serve in their cafeteria?
Mm. There is a computer history museum. I've been handed some information by our producer, Mark. But it's not quite a coding museum. By the way, Healy, still drives me crazy that you say museum. I don't know where you got that. It feels like you're trying to be better than me.
I don't know what to do about that. I really tell you, I don't like mean it as any kind of pretension.
Hard to believe you.
It's hardwired, huh?
I don't know what to do.
I posted a Twitter poll today about the difference between or how people pronounce the word research. I say research.
Yeah.
Research.
I'm a research guy.
Research.
And most people so far.
Research and development.
Researcher.
No one says research and development.
That's. There's a lot of listeners out there. Someone else must say research. Please.
That's another question for you.
Bail me out.
And where the coding museum would be.
We're really trying hard.
A lot of jocks love the great debates.
Yeah. We've heard from a number of sports teams, the Baltimore Ravens, Phoenix Coyotes.
Yeah.
I think the Cleveland Indians now are playing it in their clubhouse. A lot of teams just play.
A lot of teams hire us to go give locker room talks to their rivals because it will bore them and weaken their defenses.
Right. That's right, yeah.
Let's get to the main.
What are we doing?
Look, I admit host chat fell into an eddy.
The
or
Houston
a
Rockets... I'm sorry.
Live stat update, 94% say research.
Yeah, I think that's right.
That still gives me 6%. Okay, I've got a main event topic. The topic for the great debate.
Okay,
today.
Listen, after what we just went through, it better be an explosive topic.
It's pretty good, I think. Okay. Who's taking the pro?
I think I take the pro.
I think King takes the pro.
Okay, whatever's less life-affirming.
Okay. The topic up for debate today, Dave King taking the pro, the Constitution is dumb.
The Constitution is dumb. It's embarrassing. It's so outdated. It's not very well written. It's wrong in a number of places. If you had a geography textbook that on page 212 said, I feel like I've made this analogy before on this podcast, but I'm going to do it again. I don't care. If on page 212 it said, right angles don't have to be 90 degrees. And then on page 232 it says, right angles are always 90 degrees. You'd say, this is dumb, this book. Should the Constitution be held to a higher standard than a geography? What did I say? Geography? I meant geometry.
Either way.
Anyway, that textbook, that's what they did with Prohibition. That's what the Constitution is, not to mention the fact that it says that the so-called big one, if you will, which is that in the Constitution, it says that non-free people should be counted at only as 3/5 of a person. What sort of document should we... We can't give any document that says that any sort of credence at all. It's absurd. It's dumb. That's the end of my opening statement.
Okay.
That's the end of my poorly worded opening statement.
Now, I'm going to make my opening statement, and I'm going to begin by demolishing your three main points. First, you said the Constitution is embarrassing, and that's just not true. I mean, the Constitution is, even if you think it's outdated now, it's a document that's malleable, a living document, as they so often say, and so it's allowed us to hold a country together for 200 years.
I'll stipulate that it's not embarrassing. That's fine. We're arguing whether it's dumb or not, and I think it's dumb.
Outdated, sure, it may be outdated in a lot of places, but there, I think Dave
most places,
not
but in language, in content,
not
in moral grounds.
Taking into account the amendments which revise it. So the big one about three slaves being counted as 3/5 of a person just for the sake of apportioning, like, I think it was presidential delegates or something, that's been revoked. It's not in there anymore. I mean, the words are in a full...
Let's respect the time allotted for opening statements.
I'm so sorry.
The words are in the full document, but the idea has been deleted from it by the amendments. Now, as for not being well written, I mean, come on, man. James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and the guys sat down and wrote this thing. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union? That's great. And from a committee that was meeting in the sweltering summer in Philadelphia, and they came up with this? This is one of the all-time best, most productive meetings in the history of the world. The Constitution is
about the meeting.
The Constitution is an amazing document that has held this country together for over 200 years. God bless the Constitution. I hope the next president preserves, promotes, and protects it. Dave thinks it's dumb.
Are we in Freeskate?
Yeah, Freeskate.
Begin to skate.
You know that the Declaration of Independence is a far better written document than the Constitution.
There's way more weird stuff about slaves and things in the Declaration than there is in the Constitution.
The language of the Constitution is inferior to the Declaration of Independence.
Well, sure, but that's because it's mostly like a legal contract. Like, it's not supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be clear. There's supposed to be no questions.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought up clarity. It's the one thing that the Constitution should have above all others. And we still, to this day, argue about so many small phrases and... I mean, people interpret the text of the Constitution.
The beautiful irony is that the way we argue
ways.
About it is all born of the Constitution itself. We have free speech to argue about it, and then we have a Supreme Court where we can argue out these small items, and we go back and forth. And sometimes you disagree with the Supreme Court,
you're
sometimes you agree with them.
They said, hey, it's okay if it's confusing.
No, they said, look, we know that any legal document, any construction of a nation will have some confusions. That's why we've built in a structure. It's like a perfect machine that will correct itself.
The structure that, as it turns out, do you really believe that the structures that were put in place by the Constitution have held up well? I mean,
yeah.
Yes,
at the glorious country we live in.
But are they really a
creation of the
Constitution?
Our fundamental freedoms are preserved. Yeah, we preserved our fundamental freedoms. And this document is above any man or administration that can come through.
I don't think that has anything to do with the Constitution, or it has far less to do with the Constitution than it has to do with 1,000 other variables of the history of the United States.
Like what?
Like things that came after the Constitution.
Well, I mean, the Constitution lays
like
out
the
our...
the fact that the Union won, for example.
Well, that was good. That was good luck for the Constitution. That was a win.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do... The Constitution, the way the Constitution is written, has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that, for example, we've had leaders like Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. It has nothing to do with the fact that...
Disagree. I think it has everything to do with that. Because I think, look, the reason why we had guys like that is the Constitution lays out clearly what the president's job is, what the powers are, what the limitations on that power are, how they have to work with the Congress and the Supreme Court. It just, it sets us up to have men and women,
no
hopefully someday, of
that
prudence
the people who
and judgment.
Wrote the Constitution intended for someone like FDR to become president and has taken on as many powers as he did. The one thing you know that a president like FDR, who I think you and I would both agree did amazing things in his time and should be considered one of the best presidents of all time, the things he did were actually at the time contested as being unconstitutional.
It was healthy for the country and for FDR that he had to fight on those things, and there was pushback. Some of the things he tried to do,
all
like,
of the pushback was on a constitutional basis. It was this president.
That's
is
good. That's why. That's an argument for the Constitution being good. Even a well-intentioned guy like FDR can't override this document. That's how sturdy it is.
A lot of people say he did, and so much the better.
Okay, but on the other hand,
things that are unconstitutional, it ends up being a net good for the country. What does that say about the original document?
That's part of the beauty of the Constitution, that it continues to evolve and grow
as the
nation grows.
That's the wrong argument. Man, you should have said, come up with something other than FDR.
Okay, do that.
I can't. I was bluffing.
Also, FDR tried to do unconstitutional stuff and got stopped. Like, didn't he try to put more guys in the Supreme Court?
You know we're always on solid ground when an argument starts with, didn't he try?
Okay, I think it's time for closing statements. We had a hell of a free skate.
Boy.
But I don't know, Dave. Unless you do something magical in your closing statement, I think the Constitution's going to walk away from this one improved in people's estimation.
That's your closing statement?
No, that's my setup to your closing statement.
Okay.
We have a new thing where I introduce your closing
story.
Yeah,
I'm not wild about it. I got to say, it threw me off my game. The Constitution is dumb. It contains dumb ideas in it. It's poorly written. The language of the Constitution is confusing. See, for example, the Second Amendment. See, for example, a number of other examples I don't have at my fingertips because we didn't take any time to prepare for this debate. The United States is great in spite of the Constitution, not because of it. That's the end of my closing statement.
It's a cool hipster view to think the Constitution's dumb because they like mention slavery and stuff in there, but basically the Constitution has preserved our American freedoms for 200 some years, allowed us to become the most prosperous, most secure, most peaceful, safest nation on earth, excepting maybe Canada. But this is a profoundly moving, emotionally moving, inspiring, and well-constructed legal document building a nation that has endured to this day, and the benefits of which we continue to enjoy. So I say, thank goodness for the good old Constitution.
I didn't like the way that ended.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I mean, Dave, you had an uphill battle there.
I don't think I did. I think I'm right, and I just didn't argue it well. Maybe.
There's that. I mean, I think you got hung up in the idea that the existence of the United States is owed to the non-dumbness of the Constitution.
I guess it's not that it owes it to the non-dumbness. It's just that it doesn't owe it to the genius of it.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that the document's dumb or not.
You're right. This is where I always get in trouble when I have to argue the pro. Right. I don't know how to build an argument, man. I can only tear it down.
Oh, interesting. Maybe we should go back. Yeah. The topic maybe should have been, thank goodness for the good old Constitution. Oh,
yeah, you're right.
You could have gone into that with a machine gun.
Oh, my God.
Have you guys both seen the Constitution?
Yeah, I've been there.
I don't think I ever have, actually.
That surprises me.
I'd love to.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll get a chance someday.
Is it the real Constitution that you're looking at also, or is it the copy of the Constitution?
I don't know.
When you go there to the old Smithsonian. Is it in the Smithsonian?
It's in the Nash Archives, right?
National Archives.
But they move it around sometimes, show it off.
The deck is there, though.
The deck.
The deck is cool.
The deck is a cool thing to check out.
The deck is just like later skaters.
Fuck off, dude.
It's the original later skaters.
Leave us alone.
Yeah, we're good here.
Yeah.
Healy, what are those things that you visit that you try to check off? World Heritage Sites?
UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Oh, cool. How many of them are there, and how many of you knocked out?
This is a misunderstanding. There's like 900 something.
Too many.
You could never get to all of them in a lifetime, but every time I go to one, I'm a little psyched. A lot of them are junk.
Yeah. What's the worst one you've seen?
The ruins of Old Panama. I mean, Old Panama got burnt to the ground, completely destroyed, and they have like 50 bricks of it left over. And the UNESCO, one of their rules is you can't rebuild anything or redo anything. So it's just like, it stinks.
It stinks.
It's worse than a ruined house across the street.
How far out of your way did you go to see this?
Far.
in hours.
Oh, it probably was a total of like a 3-hour detour.
Ooh, that's
You know
tough.
Where you can read all about it? Oh. In my new book.
There you go.
Coming out on June 14th,
Ooh,
The Wonder Trail.
Wonder Trail. What a great book.
I discuss many UNESCO World Heritage Sites, tales of my travels from Mexico to Patagonia.
I love how instantly you had an answer for which was the worst.
That one is weak.
It stood out.
It's soft. It's possible UNESCO's a little crooked.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
Yeah. They don't have a good constitution.
Guys,
I can't believe it. Oh, man. Computer science history, UNESCO World Heritage Sites. It couldn't have been worse this week.
Disagree. You know, play to those thousand true fans.
Solid.
Really playing to our base today.
I loved this episode. In
maybe
a way.
One or two guys.
Hey, guys, let me know if you think I should accept Trump's VP nom. That's really what I care about.
You think it's coming, don't you?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
It can't be bad if it comes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for it.
It might be a bad job to take, but it can't be bad to get offered it.
No.
Can it?
It would change the game significantly for your social and personal and professional life, I think. Yeah.
Well, whether I say yes or not,
that will also have an effect on the future of your life.
But even if you say no, you could spin it into a fortune.
A lot of things.
There's no way if it gets offered to you, you're not
going to say
a legend for 100 years.
Yes. How I turned down Trump, the story of the rest of my life.
Okay, what magazine would you most want the Why I Turned Down Trump
Esquire,
cover?
Of course.
That's pretty good.
I mean, right?
You could do worse.
I think People. Every grocery store.
Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
That's not what you want.
But I don't want to be that guy.
See, 1,000 true fans.
That's exactly right. Guys, thanks for joining us on another great episode. Don't forget to reach out to us and send us your tops and your comments. Sign up for our newsletter. It's on our website, the form to do it, right below where you can like play the latest episode. There's a little box where you put in your email. You can sign up for our newsletter. We're going to be in New York very soon for a live event. I think it's sold out at this point, but there's a chance that there might be a little few tickets trickling out.
Hey, if we have more tickets, we'll let you know on Twitter as soon as possible, various other ways.
And thanks to Christopher Knight for composing our new theme song. I'm going to have him take us out of here. We'll see you next week on The Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.